Good afternoon. It is 12:33 and you're listening to Borough Business. It's our call-in show with local officials from the Petersburg Borough. I'm Olivia Rose, and joining us today in Studio One here is Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht and Borough Clerk Becky Regula. Thank you.
Hi, Olivia.
Here. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome. And if you're listening and have a question, you can call our station at 907-772-3808. All right. Let's just dive into it. So, Becky,
yes,
our wonderful borough clerk, we have election season coming up. Let's talk a bit about that.
Yes, we do. And tonight at our assembly meeting, I'll be giving an election report. And one of the first things to be aware of is that if you're interested in filing to run on any of our boards, which includes the assembly and any of the other school board, hospital board, et cetera, the packets will be available on July 23rd, and they can be returned. The first day to return them would be July 29th, and up until August 26th is the last day if you want to be on the ballot.
Okay, so you can pick up a packet if you're interested in running.
Correct.
Filing for candidacy.
Yeah, just come down to the municipal building and
starting
pick up a packet.
Starting on Wednesday.
Correct.
When that's available. And then if I heard that right, it's Tuesday is the first day to like officially file?
Yeah, July 29th would be the first day you could drop your packet off.
Okay, that's next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because the election happens in, what, October?
Yes.
And so it sounds far away, but it comes up quick.
It does.
And we're already starting. We're already jumping into it. It's kind of wild.
That's true. And then don't forget, if you haven't registered to vote, the deadline to do that is September 7th, and you can go online to the State of Alaska website or go to the borough's website at petersburgak.gov. Click on, at the very top of the screen, it says Election October 7th, 2025. Click on that, and then that will open up a lot of information. You can click on to file, register to vote, and if you would like to request an absentee ballot, you can do that right now. You can also stop by the borough office. I have a lot printed out to request an absentee ballot. Right by the assembly chambers, there's a rack there, and you can pick up copies right there.
Okay. And what kind of scenarios, remind us, what would somebody want to vote absentee?
So if you're going to be out of town, we also have early voting that begins on September, let me look at my list, September 17th. So if you're going to be out for Election Day on October 7th, you can still come and vote early in person downstairs in the municipal building starting on September 17th. But if you're not going to be available at all from December 17th, through October 7th, you can have a ballot mailed to you. Or a fairly new development is the email ballot, where we can email you a ballot. It's not a private ballot, but we keep your information as confidential as possible. And we email you a ballot. You sign an affidavit that says, I realize that my vote is not private. And then you can email it back to the clerk. And then we mark a ballot, an actual ballot for you, from your email ballot, then run it through the tabulator.
So you kind of you'll fill in the bubbles for
that's
them.
That's right, and then we staple the emailed ballot to our actual voted ballot, so it shows that we voted what you actually wanted to vote.
Okay. Oh, yes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you say that's a new thing for us.
It's been for a few years now, but there's still people. Even more common is for college kids away at school that want to participate in the election and they are really a big fan of the email ballot.
Yeah, because maybe they forgot to like request a ballot to mail in or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's a cool option. And what kind of seats do we have available?
So this year we have the mayor seat is open. That's a three-year term. 2 3-year terms for assembly members. 2 seats on the school board. 3 seats on the hospital board. 3 seats on the planning commission. 2 of those are 3-year terms, and 1 is a 2-year term. Harbor and Ports Advisory Board has 2 3-year terms. Library Advisory Board has 2 3-year terms. Parks and Rec Advisory Board, there's 2 3-year terms and 1 2-year term. And then Public Safety Advisory Board, there are 2 3-year terms as well.
Okay. Becky, tell us more about like the kind of requirements. I assume it probably like differs between the different positions, but What kind of requirements do people need to have in order to even run?
In order to even get on the ballot, yeah. You need to be a registered voter in Petersburg. And for the school board, let me look here. I think for the school board, you have to have been here for at least a year. The other ones, you just have to be a registered voter. And they all have different functions. We have 7 boards, and the Planning Commission will advise the borough on planning and land use regulation and community development.
Mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec facilitates communication with the public about programs and services offered by Parks and Rec. The Library Advisory Board, communication again between the library and the community, helps with planning programs and services. Public Safety Advisory Board, they review, investigate, and recommend any matter that relates to public safety. It can be items referred to them by the assembly or the manager. And then Harbors and Ports facilitates communication with the public about harbor facilities and services. School Board formulates policy for the operation of schools. They manage the employment status of the school district superintendent, and they supervise school district fiscal affairs. And then lastly, the Petersburg Medical Center has a board of directors, and they're composed of 7 community members who assist the hospital in carrying out their mission. And you can go to petersburgak.gov, and you can click on each of those boards and find out more about them and when they meet and how often. They're all different.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And then this might just be just for the assembly, but something about collecting signatures, I feel like I remember from last year at least.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. You need to have at least 20 signatures for your declaration of candidacy for the assembly, the mayor, and school board or hospital board. And the rest you do not need. You can get on the ballot without collecting signatures for the other boards. And we recommend that people get more than 20 signatures, because we verify that each person that signed the declaration of candidacy form, petition for signatures, is a registered voter in Petersburg. Mm-hmm. So you might just get someone to sign up who's not a registered voter, but so get more than 20 is our advice.
Okay, that sounds like good advice.
Yes.
You never know. All right. And do we know any propositions that will be on the ballot this fall?
Yeah, there's one proposition mm-hmm. that has to do with the sales tax for seniors, mm-hmm. and that was discussed at several assembly meetings. So the proposition will be to allow seniors that qualify for the state of Alaska public benefit services that they will be eligible for the sales tax exemption. Currently, it's all seniors are eligible. But with a new proposition, if it passes, that would just limit it to people that already qualify for the state of Alaska's low income
mm-hmm.
qualifications.
Yeah. So essentially, like, low income in the eyes of this state program.
Yes.
They do the vetting and we would basically be changing it to those kind of rules.
That's
those
right.
Eligibility requirements,
right.
I guess.
That's the only proposition on the ballot this time, other than all of those seats. There's just the one proposition. And again, like I said before, you can request your absentee ballot if you won't be here to vote early, or you can request that right now.
Okay, good to know.
Yes.
That's great information.
Okay.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about for as far as election season goes?
Remember to bring your ID when you come to vote. Mm. Even though we know you, we want to see your ID, because especially with seeing a lot of people in a row, sometimes our minds just go blank. Like, we know you, but mm-hmm. it just makes it a lot easier to get the ID and to verify that you're on the voter register. And then again, early voting is going to be in the municipal building starting on September 17th. And then the election day, Parks and Rec, the activities room at Parks and Rec, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. all day on October 7th.
It'll get here quicker than we think.
Yes, it will.
Sneaking up on us. Okay, great. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Olivia.
Very helpful information. Yes. Steve, I guess it's your turn now.
Hello.
I guess so. Our story that we're running today and that we're paying attention tonight to is the applying for a grant from the state for the harbor, the sea float replacement project. Tell us what you know kind of about that.
Well, sea float in the South Harbor is one of our oldest facilities as far as the floats go.
Oh, really?
Several of them were repurposed from the Middle Harbor when that was redone many years ago. So it's basically, it's time. They're 15 years older than everything else that we have, and starting to show some wear. Sea float gets a lot of use by yachts, tenders, bigger ships, including some cruise ship activity down there. So it's important to keep those nice and clean and make it easier for people to move around and walk on them. So when they start cracking and things like that, it's not good for anybody. So we're going to apply, if the assembly agrees, for a harbor matching grant from the state of Alaska. So there's no guarantee we'll get it, but it's probably, with the way things are these days, going to be one of the main ways that we raise money to fix things in the harbor.
Going for the grants, you mean?
Yeah. Going for grants, and it maximizes the money. So usually if things go well, they match half, 50% of the cost. So if the floats are $1.2 million, we get $600,000 from the state. But it is a competitive grant, so and it's not always funded by the state. So,
okay, tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Well, the process to go through is you fill out an application for what you want to spend money on. You send it in. Everybody else does the same that are interested in having a harbor project. And then the state at the legislature level decides where to set the funding. So the legislature will say, okay, for the harbor matching grant program, we're going to put in, I'm going to make a number up, we're going to put in $10 million in state matching fund. And, you know, the projects have been prioritized in order. So $10 million will fund the first six projects or the first eight projects or whatever. Once that's approved by the legislature, it goes to the governor, and then the governor can decide to fund it, change the funding, or veto it. He, in the past few years, he's vetoed quite a few of these kind of programs. So,
oh, really?
We're not exactly sure. I think this past year, Juno got a project for some work that they wanted to do, but I think there was only three projects. I'm doing that from memory, so but I think there was only three projects that were actually funded.
Interesting. Okay, so it's basically today what we're looking at is a request, not a guarantee, but it, what I'm hearing is it might be worth a shot. It's just...
It's always worth a shot. Yeah, we want to... If you don't... You're not going to get a grant if you don't apply for one. So the reason we go to the assembly is because there's matching funds involved. And the assembly has to agree that we would use harbor funds to as the match. And if they think it's a good enough project and that they're interested, then they'll give us permission to move forward.
Got it. So it'd be kind of like a split, like the state puts forward $600,000, then we put forward $600,000 is what I'm hearing.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, do we know if we have that like kind of in the budget?
Yeah, we do. We have a little over $3 million in the Harbor Fund.
All right. Okay. That's good info for sure. And I... When we're talking about grants and projects and stuff, something stood out to me in your manager's report too, just about the RAISE grant for Scow Bay. We were in limbo for a bit on that one, just from what I hear. So it sounds like we're not in limbo anymore.
Correct. It's all really good news. You know, we have been assigned a grant administrator at this point. There's still a long process to go through where Jody, our finance director, and others, Liz Cabrera from PEDC, will have to go through in several meetings. Our first meeting is July 28th, where we'll meet with those folks, and they'll start asking for reports and, you know, basically walking us through what is required. It'll take a while. They said sometimes up to 30 months to go through just the process of
That is a while.
So doesn't mean it's always that long, but so it's not like they're going to be writing a check to us next week or anything like that. So it's, we'll work through that. You know, takes some work, and we've got really good staff who handles that, and we'll do a really good job on this. Liz and Glo and others have been dealing with this for a very long time, and they're very... I
mean, long time coming.
When you can actually see it off there on the calendar, that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, especially since we got the... We got word in, what, January that we got this grant, or we were promised it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of waiting.
It was one of those that got pushed by the Trump administration. And so we're off of that list, now on to the move forward list.
Yeah, so it's a good sign that we'll get this funding locked in, would you say?
I would say it's a very good sign,
okay,
yes.
That's great. And then one other thing that I just noticed in this timely on your manager's report was just the bear activity.
Yeah.
And the lack of bear straps, I guess.
Yeah, we had over 75 in inventory, which is usually plenty. And for whatever reason, we've got some early bears this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we used up all of the bear straps, so we've ordered more. And
so many people have been dealing with bears early in the summer, and they've been coming to the borough like, hey, I need a bear strap for my garbage can.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I know our police department is working with Fish and Game and, you know, the troopers on what can they do. It's really a trooper issue, but they'll work alongside our police officers and how do we, you know, is it time to trap them? Is it time to, you know, haze them a little bit, see if they'll move on? I've been here, 13, 14 years, and I don't think I've ever seen bears out quite this early. Don't know why.
Because usually they come in the fall, right before hibernation season hits.
Exactly.
They're getting their last minute meals in, I guess.
Yeah, so it's a little different, but we'll work through it. It's definitely not ideal because, nobody wants a bear in their front yard spreading their garbage everywhere. So,
right. Yeah.
We'll work through it.
Yeah, interesting. Becky, have you had any bear encounters lately?
No, I have not. I've been
luckily
keeping our garbage in the garage until garbage day.
I guess you know the rules.
That's right.
You have a strategy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess it's just so. Remind me one more time. Mm-hmm. Are we waiting on more bear straps?
We are. We've ordered more.
Okay, we just don't have them yet.
I would highly recommend to folks, if you want a bear strap, to call Public Works. They can put your name on a list and tell you the status of when they expect to get more in. I'm not sure how long it takes from the manufacturer, but highly recommend it. I've had bear straps on my garbage now for probably just the third year, and I've really not had any problems. I had one messing around with the garbage can a couple of nights ago, but didn't get in.
Mm.
The interesting part, I guess, with this year is we actually have at least one bear who's decided that it's going to get into a garbage can regardless of bear straps and has been pretty aggressive at tearing holes in garbage cans.
I was going to say, like chewing through it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
While bear straps can't solve that problem, they can at least make it a little more difficult for a bear. And hopefully we come up with a better solution for getting rid of the bear and moving them out of town or something. So
one step at a time, I guess. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to add, Becky?
Yes, I wanted to just put a shout out to all of our wonderful election workers who come and help out for the 12 hours on October, that first Tuesday in October. And so if you're interested, we don't do it as a whole 12-hour shift for one person. We rotate. We have 4 3-hour shifts. And so you can just sign up for a couple of shifts or just one shift for that day. And it's a lot of fun. It's a really fun day to see the whole community come out and vote. So if you're interested, give me a call at 772-5405, or again, go on our website, petersburgak.gov. Check out the election banner at the top of the page.
That's great. And so that's for anyone who wants to volunteer on election day to help out with
and things. Get free food.
That's right. last year, Sally Dwyer had the great idea for early voting to have her bowl of candy. And that was such a hit that we also did it on election day. And it just made people smile and brightened their day. So we're going to do it again this year.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Some incentive. We love it. All right. Well, I guess that's it for today's Borough Business Meeting. Thanks for being here. That was Borough Clerk Becky Recula and Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And the Borough Assembly meeting will air here on KFSK tonight at 6 p.m. It's currently 12:52, and next we'll have Street Beat with the Heart Sisters. But first, some jazz.